Do you know, in Act 4, Charles Anderson asked his wife for a peppermint. His indigestion was fearsome. Mrs. Anderson told him to shush. She too seemed engrossed in the pantomime. Wayne was sitting bolt upright. Charles Anderson tried to concentrate. He heard some words, but not others. The Lost Boys were going back to their mums. That much he gathered. Somebody called Tiger Lily had come into it. And Indians were beating tom-toms. His heart was beating so loudly that it was a wonder Alex didn't fly off the handle and order him to keep quiet. Wendy had flown off with the boys, jerkily, and Peter was asleep. It was odd how it was all to do with flying. That Tinkerbell person was flashing about among the cloth trees. He had the curious delusion that if he stood up on his seat, he too might soar up into the gallery. It was a daft notion, because when he tried to shift his legs, they were as heavy as lead. Mrs. Darling would be pleased to see the kiddies again. Oh, she must have gone through well. He remembered the time Alex had come home half an hour late from the Cubs. The length of those minutes. The depth of the fear. It didn't matter what his feelings had been towards Alec for the last 10 years. He didn't think he was supposed to feel much for grown-up children. He'd loved little Alec, now a lost boy. And that was enough. Something dramatic was happening on stage. Peter had woken up and was having a disjointed conversation with Tinkerbell. Something to do with cough mixture and poison. "Tink, you've drunk me medicine. It was poisoned and you drank it to save me life. Tink, dear, are you dying?" The tiny star that was Tinkerbell began to flicker. Charles Anderson could hear somebody sobbing. He craned sideways to look down the row and was astonished to see that his grandson was wiping at his eyes with the back of his sleeve. Fancy Wayne, a lad who last year had been caught dangling an hamster on a piece of string from a window on a 14th floor of the flats, crying about a light going out. Peter Pan was advancing towards the audience, his arms flung wide. "Her voice is so low I can hardly hear what she's saying. She says she thinks she could get well again, if children believed in fairies. Say quick that you believe. If you believe, clap your hands. Clap your hands and Tinkerbell will live." At first the clapping was muted, apologetic. Tinkerbell was reduced to a dying spark quivering on the dusty floorboards of the stage. Charles Anderson's own hands were clasped to his chest. There was a pain inside him as though somebody had slung a hook through his heart. The clapping increased in volume. The feeble Tinkerbell began to glow. She sailed triumphantly up the trunk of a painted tree. She grew so dazzling that Charles Anderson was blinded. She blazed above him in the skies of Never Neverland. "Help me," he said, using his last breath.
"Shut up, Charlie,"
shouted Mrs. Anderson. And she clapped and clapped until the palms of her hands were stinging.